Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2019. It's all about the checks and balances. It's all about making America great again. It's all about the culture war. It's all about God, family, and country. It's all about protecting life, liberty, and property, and we're getting after it on your radio. Hour 2 at 2, hard-hitting talk. Kurt's with me. We're talking about this state of emergency announced in Chile. Troops on the streets of the Chilean capital, says Reuters and many other news services. The state of emergency, they say, is a measure of last resort. The government had many other tools available to it to calm things down, but no, the heavy-handed steps in. However, police told Reuters on Friday alone that 156 police officers had been injured, including five seriously. 49 police cars were damaged. Wow. 41 metro stations vandalized and 308 people detained. Kurt, do you want to comment on this before I get rolling here?
Well, it just seems like, the scriptures talk about wars and rumors of wars. I guess you could call these small little wars or battles. You've got, uprisings and unrest. Seems like so many places, if you look for those things. On the other hand, at least in my opinion, the good news is you've got, families and individuals. You could find them, but the media doesn't really want to look for them. They don't want stories about, good news and happy outcomes, because, frankly, Sam, if it bleeds, it leads.
I get that, and I agree with that completely, Kurt. Anyway, all I know is that I look at these stories, and I'm fearful that it's going to come to America, Kurt. I don't want it to. I pray that it does not. But I see just more division, more anger, more hatred, more fighting, more, in what, Chile, Kurt? They're mad because the utilities are so expensive. They're mad because transportation is so expensive, and they're just spilling out in the streets, rioting. Then people are vandalizing things and hurting cops, and so the cops are fighting back and doubling down into riot gear and, using the troops on the streets. And I mean, it's just getting crazy. We see that happening in, Hong Kong? We see that happening. Brexit, everybody's just rioting everywhere. And it seems to me that we've got to take a step back and say, why? And what can we do to resolve it, Kurt? I mentioned last hour, we want to talk about the who, what, when, where, why, and what do we do about it. Do you have any ideas, Kurt, for folks?
Well, number one, return to the things that make for a sound society. Keep the Ten Commandments. Honor God. In America, we need to follow the Constitution. It's the greatest outline for civil government, but it's only intended for a moral and righteous people. So then back to the Ten Commandment thing, return to those things that used to work, that made America great. Do all we can to, of course, make that kind of popular and sound throughout the world. That's the only sure and secure way to have what you'd call homeland security or world security, and that is make sure you're right with God.
I agree with that. I also agree that people need to focus on family, Kurt. I mean, I agree to turn to God for sure, and that's first. But secondarily, when people have families, folks, they usually don't act out. Usually a mom with her children with her isn't just going to go ballistic in a riot or whatever. A dad that says, hey, I got to wake up every day, put on my boots, go to work, do what I can to provide for my family. I want to come home and be the protector of my family. Then these things don't happen because they you know, families are doing the best they can. There's better ways to go to government when you believe these things are happening. But look, when you embrace socialism, Kurt, and you put the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto in place, socialism is nothing more than a softer delivery of communism, right? When you put these things in place, Kurt, you're going to have problems. You're going to have inflationary currency, manipulated currency, so people are stripped of their buying power. The hidden tax called inflation starts to rear its ugly head, even though most people can't pin the tail on the donkey in terms of what it is. But the reality is people just start to melt down, and they feel regulated and controlled and manipulated, and they feel betrayed. And this is the kind of thing that these other countries don't get. Then what the government does is say, by golly, we got an insurrection on our hands. We better crack down. But the insurrection was created by the regulation, was created by the government overreach, was created by the embracing of and laying down of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto in a country via soft-handed socialism under the guise of, we love you, we want to care for you, we want to take care of you, let government do it all. Lie. That's where all this comes from, Kurt. And it's very clear to see. And the answer, in my mind, is God and then family. As you wisely pointed out, it's God and then family, Kurt. But then the next step or stage or whatever you want to call it is to say, look, we got to have a proper country. We got to have the proper role of limited constitutional government. And this is where America should be a light on a hill, Kurt. This is where we should say, look, there are principles that make countries great. We'll give you a copy of the Constitution for free. In fact, you can download it for free on the internet, or we can print out a nice copy for you. We'll get it to you. We'll help you understand how the checks and balances in a true republic work, why democracies are wrong, why socialism is wrong, why communism is wrong, why fascism is wrong, why even an oligarchy is wrong, why all these other forms of government just have had problem after problem after problem, why anarchy is wrong. Any of these things, none of them really work. You got to have a proper balance between this tyranny and this, quote, 100% anarchy or whatever you want to say. There's got to be a balance in the republic form of government, a constitutional republic, I might add, with all these checks and balances. Are the only way to keep that balance? Is it perfect? No. Have we failed in America because we're immoral and because we don't understand the checks and balances? Yes. But it works. Our founders said you have a republic if you can keep it. It works if we're willing to maintain that balance. But the only way we can maintain that balance is if we're a moral people. Because moral people don't seek for power, Kurt. They seek to pull it down. Moral people don't seek to become gods or lord over somebody else. George Washington never sought for increased power, for instance. Okay, and so these things are fundamental if we want the proper role of government. So I would suggest to the Chileans, if they want to get a copy of the Constitution, it'll help them. And you can say, well, that's all old hat. We don't even obey it. That's right. Since we don't obey it, we at least ought to, you know, enable others to obey it or to live by it. The joke is that, hey, we got to obey it ourselves, too. But when we obey these principles, Kurt, of God, family, and country, we use God, the scriptures, for guidance on an individual level to be self-governed. On the family, we look at father and mother, male and female, one man, one woman marriages to set the standard. The proclamation on the family from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints provides tremendous guidance here. And then country, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution, the supreme law of our land, provides guidance on the governmental level. And so now you've got the scriptures, you've got the family, and the scriptures deal with God and family quite well. And fundamental, we've got plenty of studies showing what ills of society destroy the family, whether it be gambling or drinking or alcohol. And I get that we can't mandate the rejection of those things. People have their choice and their agency. They have their freedom to choose. I get it and agree. But we can make sure that the government supports those things which are good for society, not embraces those things which are disastrous for society. Anyway, my prayers are with the folks in Chile, Kurt. And the reason that I bring it up is because we want to provide direction and solutions for those poor people. I feel bad for them. But you know what? What can the cops do when you are destroying property and trashing police cars and trashing buildings and, you know, harming people and vandalism? And I mean, 308 people had to be detained, Kurt. I mean, think about this. I don't know what you call it, but metro stations, 41 of them were vandalized. Cop cars vandalized. At some point, somebody's got to get a handle on this, Kurt. So I'm not necessarily defending the cops, but I am defending at some point there's got to be a law and order. And this is an example where if you don't achieve that proper balance, things run off the rails in a variety of directions. Wicked people seek for power, and if you don't have something to hold them in check, they will fill the vacuum. And the founders understood this very well. Some would say, well, we don't need any government. Some would say, well, you got too much government. And you know what? We have too much government for sure. But if we use the constitutional provisions and guidelines and checks and balances, it's the only way I've ever seen nations chaining down, using the Constitution to chain down people at all levels to make sure they don't gain too much power and too much authority and then promote oppression. And you know what? Our Constitution's far from perfect. But I believe it was inspired of God, put together by some of the best men who God put on the earth at the time to create and deliver this. It was a lot of hard work, and we should not, I repeat, we should not turn our back on and or lose that legacy. We must preserve, defend, protect, promote the principles that make countries great. And when something happens in another country that just literally makes me sad for the people there, the people don't know where to turn is the problem. The government loves to crack down. That's the problem. But there are answers, and our prayers are there. We pray that we're a light on a hill. We're a beacon. We're a solution. We're a guiding force under the Prince of Peace for our guidance and using these tools that I believe God gave wise men and women on the earth to create the proper rule of government. Government can be a blessing to stop despots and tyrannical thugs from taking over. But only if we learn to use the checks and balances wisely, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I guess what happened is this waitress had a car. I mean, it was a piece of garbage. Kurt's got details coming up on your radio.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Not only is God, family, and country one of the great keys to success and to make people, families, and countries great, but there's a couple of keys to the exercise. Oftentimes, if you're discouraged, if you're frustrated, if you're angry, if you're hate-filled, if you're hurt, if you're any of these negative emotions take hold in your life, there are ways to get out of it. And one of the great ways is called random acts of kindness. They're one of the greatest ways that joy and love is our spread, ladies and gentlemen. One act can lead to a chain of generosity that many can benefit from. There are some people, believe it or not, who are an inspiration to everyone around them in the way that they act and spread joy. It's one of a kind. Kurt's got the tales. Kurt.
Well, Sam, you remember, at least I remember you telling me about some of your earlier days when you had a little less than, what would you say, extravagant vehicles.
And, I still have less extravagant vehicles.
Well, I know, but now compared to those days, you're not having to be out pushing the car while your wife's driving or whatever. Typically. And so this story comes to us from the Western Journal Boys through or by way of our buddies there at WorldNetDaily.com or WND.com, and features a waitress. Her name is Cindy Grady. Some good folks named the Tacketts, Gary and Roxanne Tackett. They had they had been living in Missouri a few months, and of course, you know, like I say, this is the kind of story the New Yorkers, Californians, I mean, I'm not talking about the good people in New York and the good people in California. I'm talking about the, you know, folks that view the middle of America as flyover land. They're going to leave this story alone big time, because it even includes Cracker Barrel, Sam. And this lady, Cindy Grady, was a waitress there. And this couple in Missouri, they befriended her. And they'd visited the restaurant a couple of times. They were always happy with their service. The waitress lives with her disabled son, and her old blue car had makeshift windows of plastic wrap. Have you ever used that, Sam?
Not for windows, but I've used plastic wrap, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not talking about for maybe long term, but sometimes, you know, if a window breaks, I mean, you got to have some way to fill it up. But this lady was, you know, probably not just a short-term deal. And the hood was badly battered, held down with a ratchet strap. You kind of get the picture. The Tacketts, this husband and wife that had been, you know, the restaurant, this lady's been taking care of them, they noticed the car that Grady was driving, and they decided to do something about it one day.
Now, hold on. Manager, before you go to this one day, I want to tell you, this part's the funnest. Check this out. Listen.
Yeah. One day, a manager at the restaurant asked Grady, that's the lady, to come outside. She thought she was going to get in trouble. But instead, she found the Tacketts waiting for her. The husband sparked up a conversation with Grady about her current car. And the waitress let out a groan. It was clear she wasn't in love with the car. Gary then led Grady out into the parking lot and stopped in front of a silver car with a red bow on top. Grady said, the waitress said, "You've got to be kidding me." When she realized what was happening, she said, "It's beautiful." She couldn't believe the generous gift was being given. One couple's kind gesture inspired others to do the same. When she told him of the story of her new car, Grady's insurance agent and mechanic even waived their fees. The Tacketts' daughter, Chelsea Todd, shared her parents' story in a Facebook post. Now, this is, you know, a good use for Facebook, if you ask me. There are bad ones, but anyway, this is a good one. "My parents are the most generous, kind-hearted, loving people I know. I'm so proud to be their daughter," she wrote. Anyway, the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, there are good stories, there are good things that are happening, but most of the time, the media, they just don't want to sink their teeth into a story like this. Do they?
But I do, and I want to highlight more things about this story. I believe this is one of the most valuable uses of our time to talk about some of these stories. And I know they're not quite as hard political, you know, get-in-your-face stuff. I get it. But random acts of kindness, ladies and gentlemen, are one of the greatest ways that joy and love is spread. One act of generosity can lead to a chain of pay-it-forward good news, realities for people. So this in this story, they have this headline that I find really interesting. It's not a headline, I guess. It's just a line in the story. "One couple's kind gesture inspired others to do the same." And then what happens is the mechanic hears about it, the insurance agent hears about it, all these people hear about it, and they start doing stuff, Kurt.
Yeah, and now one of the other things we could twist this into is the, minimum wage idea that we've, you know, we've talked about. See, now some would say, look, the government needs to step in here. This lady's not making enough money. And I'm sure that there's probably some government programs that she's just not taking advantage of. And yet, Sam, private acts of charity, these individuals, when they see a need, hey, they simply perform that act of charity. And this lady's not getting rich because of some government program that she's taking advantage of. She's doing better because people that are not forced to perform an act of charity decided to, and that made the world a better place.
Yes, you're right. And Kurt, what's interesting about this is I don't know where she lives or what the minimum wage there is. Again, it would take a research, you know, to find this all out and get it all ready for discussion. But I point this out to say, you know, churches can help this lady. Individuals can help this lady. Nonprofit organizations can help out this lady. Neighbors can help out this lady. There's plenty of people that can really make a difference here. And, you know, the best part about this couple helping out is you don't got to worry about if the money's getting spent in the right place. When the couple takes their own money, finds this lady a vehicle, helps her get squared away in the vehicle, then mechanics are giving their services and insurance people are giving their services. And you know that that's managed the way it ought to be, Kurt. You know there's not a big old somebody middleman getting rich driving around a Lamborghini or a Maserati or a Bugatti or one of these kind of things in the middle of that thing. You know that it's genuine love and service that brought that all about. Concern for our fellow beings. True Christian bearing one another's burdens going on here, Kurt. Just because, look, this couple, no one's going to mismanage what they're doing. Anyway, I find this a very delightful story, and I find it one of the great solutions. So while the bureaucrats are battling and fighting, and literally through Maxine Waters and others telling people to just like attack everybody that you disagree with everywhere and don't let them go to restaurants. And while they're saying that kind of stuff, and while Mitt creates fake news accounts, and while, you know, Donald attacks Nancy and Mitt and everybody else on the planet, and while they attack Donald, and while Ben Sasse goes after Donald, and everybody's doing that, and while the police are, you know, trying to tamp down the rioting and the vandalism and the carnage going on in Chile, you've got these couples that are elderly people doing great work, right? Caring for this waitress. They don't know her that well. Okay, they're kind of looking at it like, I don't know how old this waitress is, but they're thinking of it more like their daughter or their granddaughter. Even though it's not literally their daughter or granddaughter, they're kind of going, hey, she needs some help here. She works hard. She's cheerful. She's doing her very best. I want to do something. And I want news stories about this in the media. Instead of hearing about all the carnage and all the anger and all the hatred and frustration, I want these stories to go viral. And what I hope is we get massive copycats going on everywhere, Kurt.
Well, and I will say this about this story. And I don't know this to be true, but I'll just bet that this lady, had a pretty positive attitude, even though, some would say she's been dealt a poor hand. She's got a disabled child, and she's certainly not living in the lap of luxury, working a Cracker Barrel or whatever. And yet, Sam, you know, some of the poorest people I've ever met have been some of the happiest people I've ever seen.
Amen.
And, you know, you try to figure out how that works. Well, you know, here goes again, ladies and gentlemen, but the God of heaven, he takes care of his children. And, that little scripture that talks about how he ornaments the little flowers and the little birdies, takes care of all them and makes them as prettier than Solomon was on the best day. Well, he's going to do the same thing and take care of you if you keep his commandments, Sam.
Well, I find that interesting, ladies and gentlemen. While that's going on, colleges are, well, they're being told something about Bernie. They're being asked a question about good old Bernie Sanders, socialist extraordinaire, if you will. And, they're shocked when they find out what's going on, but they still defend the Bernie. Kurt's got details in seconds.
Pre- protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
America's top diplomat in Ukraine is currently behind closed doors on Capitol Hill as part of the ongoing impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Bill Taylor expected to be talking with that panel about White House efforts to pressure Ukraine into investigating former VP Joe Biden and his son Hunter. Taylor is the one who, in a series of text messages with other administration officials, said he thought it was, quote, crazy to withhold military aid from Ukraine for help in a political campaign. Former President Jimmy Carter is recovering after taking another tumble. The 95-year-old hospitalized after suffering a minor pelvic fracture, Carter's second fall this month. The first one, just over a week ago, resulted in him needing over one dozen stitches over his eye. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
British police say they'll travel to the United States to interview the wife of an American diplomat about a crash in which she killed a British teenager when she was driving on the wrong side of the road. The police chief in Northamptonshire says they need to get to the bottom of exactly what happened.
She did not tell us that she was leaving the UK. In fact, quite the contrary, we were told that she would cooperate and work with the police in terms of this investigation.
He says Anne Sakoulis has agreed to speak to them about the August crash that killed 19-year-old Harry Dunn. A California utilities warning of the possibility of more power shutoffs. PG&E officials say they're looking at potentially shutting off power to 200,000 customers in a dozen Northern California counties to reduce the risk of wildfires with dry, windy weather conditions expected in coming days. Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued a disaster declaration for 16 counties after Sunday night's storms in North Texas. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, they say it's his money. Students defend Bernie's miserly charity donations, Kurt.
Well, we've seen stories like this, Sam, so many times, you know, where you've got the insider boys, take the Obamas, for example, where they look at their taxes, you know, their filings, and they just see this very small amount going to charity when they, you know, suggest that all of us need to ante up, if you will, and pay more in government taxes so that then the, you know, the poor can be cared for by governments. And, you know, it's just more of the same. And this piece says, students now defend Bernie's miserly charity donations. Some shocked college students couldn't help but defend Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders after it was revealed that while the wealthy Democratic socialist wants to give away other people's money, he isn't willing to part with much of his own. This was at Dartmouth College in nearby New Hampshire, and they were asked by Campus Reform, that's a publication or a, you know, kind of a news piece that goes in there and, you know, works on campuses. They asked what percentage of Sanders' $1 million income they thought the politician donated. Some answers were as high as 75%. They were illustrating the socialist kind and generous cult image among young liberals. You know, that's what they thought that he put in. In the real world, they say, however, Sanders' donations to charity totaled less than 1% of his income. And this is in 2016, by the way, and I'll just bet that that number hasn't really changed. They say that, excuse me, in an interesting twist, most millionaires' average charitable donations exceed 5% of their income. That's according to Business Insider, and this is obviously a target Sanders is unable or unwilling to meet. Students, by the way, were quick to jump to the avowed socialist defense. So there you go, Sam.
And how do you feel, Kurt? What would you say about this?
Well, I know this, that the God of Heaven has a recommendation for this number, and he suggests, or maybe you could say commands, you know, this is...
Well, he says in the Bible, you've robbed me if you don't do it. So I'd say it's
that's
a commandment
right
there, Kurt. But that's
yeah,
just
that's
me.
Pretty high level. You know, and he calls it the tithe, which is a tenth of one's earnings. And so that's what we recommend.
But I want to submit a tithe or a tenth is a minimum number, too, Kurt. It's not like you just got to max out at that.
Good
or
point.
Anything. It's like a that's minimum right number that God says, hey, I've given you everything you have, and I would like you to voluntarily, with your own free will and choice, give me 10%. And if you don't, then you've robbed me, he says. And I look at 10% as kind of a minimum number, Kurt, and I think you can go above and beyond in a variety of other ministering ways, which I highly support. Now, I will defend the students a little bit and defend Bernie Sanders a little bit in that, Kurt, it is his choice. And if he wants to be a miser, not giving him of his wealth away to anybody else and help anybody out, I mean, he can do that, I guess. I'm not going to say we ought to have some law that would mandate a certain number from him or anything. I am just saying it's interesting. It's quite miserly for the wealthy Bernie Sanders. You would think that there'd be something different. And you'd also think the students wouldn't defend that too much. I mean, it's true. It's his money. I agree. And he can do what he wants with it. But I would encourage not only Bernie, but all these students and everybody else to start looking at that minimum number that God directs, biblically speaking. And there you go. All right, anything else on that one?
Well, and our buddy, I remember our buddy Ben Carson even recommended this same thing when he
put
was
government on the at, God plan.
Well, he talked about how if God can get by on that amount, then why couldn't government? You know, and he was talking about, you know, the fact that a percentage would be equal and fair to everybody. And rather than, you know, you increase it as somebody has more means, if you will, you know, in other words, the standard communist way where you have a graduated income tax. It's just not fair, Sam.
Well, Ben Carson's spot on, and so are you, Kurt. That is the way to go about it. And this dovetails quite nicely into the next discussion, though. They say it's his money. Students defend Bernie's miserly donations. And so there you go. But the problem, Kurt, in America is that the portion of Americans with no religious affiliation is rising significantly in tandem with a sharp drop in the percentage that identifies as Christians, according to the Pew Research Center. They got a big old breakdown from their study. And Pew Research says that 65% of American adults now describe themselves as Christians, down from 77% in 2009. That's a 12-point drop. That's huge and scary to see. The portion that describes their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, Kurt, has gone up, now stands at 26%, up from 17% in 2009. Significant rise of those who do not identify as Christians. Those who identify as Mormons, and I kind of say that word because it's in the article, but members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is how I would put it. Latter-day Saints is the better way to kind of describe them. They just happen to believe in a book of scripture called the Book of Mormon. That's why they're nicknamed that. But the Book of Mormon says on it, right on the front of it, another testament of Jesus Christ, adding a second witness, I might add, to the Bible. Nevertheless, I digress. The members of the Church of Jesus Christ, Kurt, you know what percent they are in the nation? They've held steady over the last decade. So Christianity is being lost from other religions, not from the Church of Jesus Christ. They've held steady. But you know what percent in the nation members of the Church of Jesus Christ are, Kurt? I did not know this, by the way, until I saw this article. So
between 5 and 10, I'd say.
Okay, not even close. It's
2%.
2%. Well, 2% of the nation. But it's held steady at 2% over the last decade, so you know they're not losing any ground. Now, understand the reason you say, well, how can that be if the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is quite large? Because there's more membership outside of the United States than there is inside the United States. That's the reason. Nevertheless, I found that interesting. Now, where the loss is coming from primarily, Curtin, my goal isn't to attack other religions. This is the Pew Research study. I'm just highlighting it, right? Both Protestant and Roman Catholic ranks are losing population share big time. 43% of U.S. adults identify as Protestants. That's down from 51% in 2009. So from 51 to 43% for the Protestants. 20% are Catholic, down from 23% in 2009. So the Protestants are losing the most, the Catholics next, the Mormons are holding steady, but overall Christianity is losing ground in America. The number of Christians have decreased by 12 points, while the number of those who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing has risen from 17% to 26%. Kurt, that is substantial. And you can see why we're not holding Christian principles that made America great as a governing value anymore. And I'm telling you, we need to reverse this trend. We need to bring people to Christ. Of all the things we can do, I mean, I can talk about government and politics and moral high ground and the Constitution and everything. But when it comes down to it, if we don't have Christians, we will cease to be a Christian nation. If we don't have followers of Jesus Christ, disciples of Christ, Latter-day Saints, and you know other equivalents, we're in trouble. We're in serious, deep doo-doo. Do I get to say that, Kurt, on the radio? Anyway, this is all based on telephone surveys conducted in 2018 and 2019 is where they get their Pew Research study, Kurt. And I'm afraid, sadly, the way they do those surveys oftentimes taps into the older population because a lot of times it's landline-based and all this kind of stuff. And if we're not careful, it might even be worse than they're making it sound. Now, I personally believe, though, that it has to do with red and blue states to a great degree, Kurt, conservative or liberal, whatever you want to call it. I don't mean to divide on Republican and Democratic parties, but I do want to say the big city liberals, you know, just say the Houston, Texases, the New York City, the Chicago, Illinois, the massive cities in California, San Francisco or some of these places. L.A., these liberal bastions where there's just massive amounts of people, that's where a lot of this progressive social ideology comes from. That's where people basically are deceived in these big, cities where I think that the numbers are skewed. I think the heartland of America is still fairly Christian and fairly strongly so. The Bible Belt, the Intermountain West is very Christian, for instance, whereas these coastal cities and some of those places aren't near as Christian. And so, sadly, we're starting to see a divide in America. But it's going the wrong direction. Pray for your countrymen, ladies and gentlemen. That would be my suggestion and advice. Pray for your countrymen. Get on your knees before God and find out what He wants you to do to bring people to Jesus Christ. After all, the Prince of Peace might just bring peace. Have you ever thought about that?
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation. and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, should flying make you guilty? I brought this up first hour, told you we'd discuss it. We got it going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. Should flying make you feel guilty? You know, spewing out all those toxins and such like that, Kurt. The Swedes, believe it or not, call it flight scam or flying shame. Did you know that, Kurt? It's the movement that encourages people to, not fly. To stop taking flights. Why, Kurt? To lower their carbon footprint. But should Americans truly be feeling shame for getting on an airplane to see grandma this holiday season? The short answer, probably not. Even writes the mainstream press on this one. Kurt, do you want to comment on this before I give you the rest of the details?
Well, you know, this is more of this whole global warming, you know, climate change hullabaloo that basically we see, and, you know, we see this on a continual basis where people are supposed to be shamed into doing, you know, the right thing, if you will. And yet, so many times I just think that you've got fake news involved in so much of this is what I see. You know, it seems to just go on, and the media, the typical media, simply partners with this group of folks, you know, because they somehow think that they're, you know, doing the world a favor. And yet, it's not true.
Now, they're saying you shouldn't feel guilty, Kurt, to go see grandma. But if you're just flying for luxury, that's another matter. You should feel some shame there, Kurt, they say. Now, see, I disagree with all this. Believe it or not, a small group of people, Kurt, are primarily responsible. Listen to this. A small group of frequent flyers. You know what percent of the nation frequent flyers are, Kurt?
No, I don't.
All right. 12% of the nation are considered, quote, frequent flyers. You got to understand, Kurt, you got to define what a frequent flyer is. You see what I'm talking about?
If you do it once a year.
No, Kurt. They define this, buddy. A small group of frequent flyers are about 12% of the nation. They make more than 6 round trips by air per year. Okay? So if you make more than 6 round trips a year by air, you're a frequent flyer, buddy. Now, you and I are not frequent flyers, that's for sure. Now, they say that they're responsible, Kurt. These frequent flyers, 12% of the nation that take more than 6 round-trip flights a year, they're responsible for 2/3 of all air travel. And then by extension, Kurt, of course, 2/3 of aviation emissions. That's according to a new analysis conducted by the International Council on Clean Transportation. Just so you know, they're a nonprofit research group. They say each of these travelers on average emits more than 3 tons of carbon dioxide per year. That's a massive amount, they say, Kurt. Now, they say the most frequent flyers, Now, in this case, they say people that take more than 9 round trips per year, Kurt, they're the super frequent flyers now. They admit the highest share. If all Americans flew more than 6 times a year, the use of aviation jet fuel would increase about 6-fold, Kurt, and planes would easily surpass passenger cars as the greatest source of carbon dioxide emissions, my friend. The International Council on Clean Transportation estimates that our climate just can't tolerate this stuff going on, Kurt. So they say air emissions could be lowered with more fuel-efficient planes, of course. So they're trying to basically position taxes to make sure you don't fly too much, Kurt. They just say if you have a certain number of flights, you'd be given a certain number of flights per year that you could do, and above that, you'd just be taxed through the roof to make sure you don't want to continue flying. Now, there you go. Do you want to respond to this, Kurt? They say e-climate experts has suggested to getting rid of these frequent flyer miles and everything else to discourage air travel. Did you see that, Kurt?
Well, Sam, I think that you could probably associate this whole thing with, if you were to do some numbers and that kind of thing and do some real analysis, this communist transportation system and this whole idea, you could find out that really some of the biggest so-called polluters would be those who used and promote those kind of systems. For example, the government buses and that kind of thing I see them up and down our streets now with this, ride for free and all that kind of stuff. And yet the true cost of these is massive because of the tax dollars involved. And then the true, for example, the government buses, what they do is they put their exhaust pipe way up high above the bus, Sam, so that then if you're behind the bus, you're not going to really smell that stuff because it's up high. It's not right where typically, the normal exhaust pipe's right down by you. And so then you see somebody taking off or whatever, you see that exhaust there or you smell it. But they've smartened up a little bit. They put that up high so that it's not right in your face or whatever. And I think, you could analyze this whole thing of the air travel a lot of times and say, look, this individual went from here to here. How much more, economical was it compared to if they drove or if they, did the quote right thing and rode on a government bus from here to there? What would the real cost be, both in like wheels, tires, fuel, all that kind of stuff? I think you'd probably find that the air travel is probably one of the most economical. It's kind of like those big trains, we hear these stories about, and you see that puffing those big smoke stacks and stuff, and yet you figure it out, and they've got 90 carloads of so many thousands of tons of material that they're moving along, and yet you figure it out, and it's probably some of the most economical way to move things around is the, rail system. And so, if you really want to do the analysis, I think you'd find that. But most of the time, they don't want to really put truth in a story like this. Right, Sam?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I find that interesting, this whole story, this idea that experts are recommending banning airline miles and frequent flyer programs to discourage air travel, including coupling that with higher taxes for the more flights you take. So if I took 1 flight, 2 flight, 3 flights a year, I might be okay. But if I start taking 4, 5, 6 and more, then the taxes would just ratchet up every flight to discourage air travel. They say a small group of frequent flyers, 12%, of Americans who make more than 6 round trips a year are responsible for 2/3 of all air travel. That's significant, Kurt. Now, let's talk about who those people are, Kurt. And the problem is they're going to be the rich and the elite, the bureaucrats, the politicians. So then what they're going to do is they're going to start to say, we got to, you know, tax the rich, tax the whatever. Again, I want to just step back and say, you know what? Is CO2 the problem? Is flying the problem? Is car travel the problem? And what they really want to do, Kurt, is get you off the plane and out of your car. But here's what I don't understand. Why do they not want me to jet around the globe? Because they say that I spew out emissions. But they want my apples and my bananas and my oranges and my carrots and my celery and my lettuce and my meat to come from all these other places. So don't allow Sam to jet around the globe, but allow products and services to jet around the globe. Why do we get a sleeping bag from the communist nation of China? That sleeping bag has to travel, Kurt. What about all the emissions for that? What percent of emissions is people versus what percent of emissions are services? And you'd say, oh, well, Sam, those are on freight airliners. They don't fly your sleeping bag to you. They put it on a great. How does that ocean liner get across the ocean? Does it spew any toxins there, Kurt? And, you know, we go on and on and on with this discussion. But suffice it to say, what they do is they isolate out emotional issues tied to this. And then they manipulate the public based on those emotional issues. No one's going to get all excited about a sleeping bag and the emissions that it takes to bring it from China to here. Everybody is going to get super excited about those elites that are frequent flyer guys. You know, those wealthy people, the Teslas, those guys, you know, they're the bad guy. They're the ones that are at your expense just getting all the benefit, Kurt. That's kind of the game they play. And I find that a dishonest game, sadly so. But, Kurt, I don't think flying should make you feel guilty at all. The question becomes, is it better? Let's say that I travel to Florida today. Is it better that I do it on a plane or in a car? Which one puts out more emissions, Kurt? Do you even know? See, I don't know that answer. I'd have to research to find out.
You'd have to really do some big-time analysis.
Yes, you would.
Because then you've got to look at, hey, it's just like on these government buses that cruise around and tell us that, hey, that's so much better than a car, you know, a private car. I mean, because, you know, we the government are so smart. We've got this way of making sure and take care of you. But I would be surprised if you really did the numbers and found out how it was. And the big point to remember about this whole thing is, Sam, there's, you know, the F word, and that is freedom, Sam. And so we're talking about, people's right to choose, the ways they'd like to move around. Maybe they don't choose what you think is right, and they drive maybe an old car, or maybe they drive a new car, or whatever it is. But it's about freedom, Sam, isn't it?
It's about freedom, for no doubt. It's also about responsibility. And whose responsibility is that if we feel like, hey, emissions are a problem? If you choose to not fly because you think emissions are a problem, Kurt, I think you have that right. The other guy that travels a lot, I think he has that right. And how do we not, you know, and this is kind of the battle, how do we not force our will or our agenda or our belief system on somebody else? Somebody else says, we got to ban all straws. Can't have a straw, Sam. Sam feels differently about that. I think straws are fine. Well, Sam, what about the oceans? They're being, you know, toxified by all these plastic. Fine. Let's go on a absolute deregulation so that we can figure out how best to deal with those straws. So they don't belong. You know, there's ways to go about things is the point. Do we got to just shut down the behavior, or do we got to find better ways? I'm for efficiency, and I'm for taking care of the planet God gave us. But I'm not for letting government to act like a wedge and divide us all up and destroy our quality of life on the altar of they know best. And liberty is the key here. All right, we thought we'd bring that to your attention. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it's educational and somewhat entertaining. But I hope most importantly you realize that God, family, and country is the focus. The protection of life, liberty, and property is the critical issues at hand. The culture war is critical. We the people standing up, demanding on the checks and balances politely but insistently with our greater numbers is the key. It starts with the power of one. By our great numbers do we accomplish the tasks. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.